Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Primos y primas, que lo que, welcome, bienvenidos to the Dear God, Are We There Yet? The podcast con tu prima favorita, soy Alicia Sanchez, and yes, this podcast is bilingual, empowering social good one conversation at a time, sharing weekly insights and inspirations from people adding their magic to make this world a better place. Whether you want to learn more about volunteer travel, being more socially conscious, or you love a good conversation that breaks down barriers while evoking pasión and emoción, this is the podcast for you. Grab a cafecito y vamos a hablar.
Primos y primas, que lo que, and another episode. I hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode about what's brainwashed 2021, because there's so much noise and there's always going to be constant noise, but more than ever, I feel like there's more and more noise, and it has to do with technology. Check that out. That's last week's podcast. But this week, vamos a hablar de algo totalmente diferente. We're going to talk about how am I hurting people in need while in the process of trying to help them. Let me tell you, I gotta take a little break. Before I get into this is a heavy podcast. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of controversy in this podcast. And whether you like it or you don't like what I have to say, I want to hear from you. Because your point of view matters. And when I say it matters, I mean that I'm going to respect what you have to say. We don't have to agree, but we can respect one another. And so feel free, if you want to give me a shout out on Instagram, Twitter, whatever, lo que sea, email me, DM me, and be like, hey girl, I'm prima. I don't care what you say, but da 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 da. You know, a big part of our nonprofit, as you all know, volunteer community and getting people out there to help other communities and to help them that in different ways from a time perspective, you know, hands on, either virtually or in person. Of course, with COVID, everything in person is kind of, you know, back and forth. But when I first started this, Dear God, Are We There Yet? The nonprofit side, I always knew that I wanted to do volunteer travel trips, and I wanted to do them differently. Coming from an island where poverty is an ultimate high, the entire island of La Española is at an ultimate high of poverty. Haiti, including humongous poverty. You know, and coming from that and living in Dominican Republic, yo viviendo ahí, yo viendo the missionaries, they come for a week, they come for 2 weeks, they come for a couple of days, and they leave. Something always didn't sit right with me, depending on what they were doing. And again, I talk about this God complex, that they came, they gave us things, and I'm not going to lie. We're like, oh my God, we're going to go down to that iglesia, cantando cosas gratis, dando arroz, they're bringing all this stuff for free. Let's go make the line. When I was living in the DR, yeah, I probably went like one time. They were giving, yeah, it was about one time they were giving rice. And my grandmother was like, muchacha, ve buscar este arroz. Están dando 5 libras de arroz. They're giving 5 pounds of rice. And I'm like, mama, that's not a lot. But whatever. Going for my grandma because I love her. And she's always thinking about other people, which I love, because she even said, like, out of that rice, you can put them in Ziploc bags. I can go to the Jumbo. If you've ever lived in DR, are you from the Caribbean? I don't know if you guys have a Jumbo, but she's like, get some Ziploc bags and give a cup or two. And we would go to where her other family lives in Samana Perdida. I don't even know if you guys, if any Dominicans listening. And she said that we would go there and give it to the guys that used to live or work in the panaderia, and then they can't work anymore because I think arthritis or whatever. So she's so cute. So she's telling me to go in line. Love my grandma. Passed away, rest in peace. To get that road, to get the ride, to put them in Ziploc bags because she wanted to compartir. She wants to share with everyone. And it was these men. And so I'm like, okay, we can do that. I can go do that. It's fine. And I'm sitting here in this line, in this church, this massive church, and there's these big trucks. And I see all these people. And now, mind you, as a child, I've always seen this because we were raised Catholic. So we would always go to the church and we were always taking things. And I would see people, the missionaries, with these shirts on with a cross and like some biblical version of some whatever. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying. I don't remember. because, you know, you guys keep coming at me. And so I see them and they are, you know, getting all the arroz, la habichuela, the rice, the beans. They even had azúcar. They had sugar. They had café, coffee. They had all this stuff. And I see them piling it and they're making little lines. And I see the, you know, Caucasian white American, they came from, I think they were coming from Texas. Now, mind you, I've always seen this as a little girl, but now that I'm older at this time, when I was living in DR, I was way much older. I was an adult. And I'm seeing it with a whole new set of eyes. Mind you, when I was younger, I used to see this all the time. We used to come to Igwe and then Campo in the countryside. They would do the same thing. And we saw it as like, wow, they're coming in and they're giving us this and that. As an adult now, seeing it again. And I see it and then I go to the I go to the colmado, which is the corner. I get the rice and I have to go to the colmado. I have to go get some stuff, like other stuff that she wanted me to pick up. It's like a corner shop that they sell like vegetables. I'll never forget what the guy said to me. He was so angry. And I'm like, primo, what happened? Like, what's up? You know, like, why are you so mad? Right? He's like throwing stuff and whatever. And he says some not so nice words. He's in my lado. It's on my lado. He's basically saying, like, now nobody's going to come buy rice from us for the entire month because those malvados, those people, they're coming here giving free rice. This is way before I had Dear God, Are We There Yet? A nonprofit, before me thinking about doing volunteer travel trips. But I knew that I wanted to do volunteer travel trips differently because of my experiences, but I didn't know how piecing them together. I mean, I remember even being in Haiti on another trip with another nonprofit. We were cleaning and building a school and a bathroom and all that stuff. And I was telling this to my friend, like, I'm going to do something that, and I would be telling her basically what I'm doing now, but I didn't have it all pieced together. Those words stuck with me because I was just like, wow. He said that to me. He's like, nobody's going to buy from me now for the whole month. Because in DR, in Haiti, and most Caribbeans, you only get your salary once a month. You don't get your salary every 2 weeks. I mean, it's very rare. I don't even think there's anything like you get 1 month. That's it. You get paid. That's it. You get a hold on for the whole time. And it struck something because when I went back to the house and I told my grandmother, and she said, she looked at me. She's like, she just stared and she looked at me. And she's just, the first thing she said is, hi, Dios mío. That's all she said. And I can see it in her face, like, it just hit her. But she's telling me the beginning, like, go, go, go. And this is all of us. Sometimes we don't see the entire picture of anything because we know that it's a great idea. We know that it would do good because it does good. People need rice. They need to eat. They need these things, right? But we don't see it from a bigger perspective. We don't see it for something larger. So I remember going back. Because in DR, we go and recycle the bottles for the Coca-Cola. So I was taking the bottles back. We had a whole bunch. And I took it back. And And my grandmother, she was, and I told my grandmother that I was going to give him some money. So I gave him some money, and I gave him a $20 bill, American dollar. And he's like, "Pa qué esto?" He's like, "What is this for?" And I'm like, "You know, I don't know what this can do, but I want, this is just from us, from my familia Sanchez, like just here." And I said, "If you don't want to take it, just think of it as a birthday, because Dominicans, they have a lot of pride." So at first he was just like, "Ugh." And I can't translate how much it is because the peso goes up and down. But something in my heart felt bad, because I was just like, this dude has all this inventory now of all this rice that he needs to move, and he's a colmado. But literally everyone in Alma Rosa Primero, in the capital, you know, Dominican Republic, he literally went to that church to get that rice. They're not going to go to him. So what does that do for their community? What does that do for the locals? What does that do for his family and the families around and the other people that are selling beans or whatever the case is? How about those workers that work in the you know, fields of getting that habichuela, and they're going to go sell it in downtown? And I'm just saying this because this just is a piece of what I'm talking about how am I hurting people and then in the need of, like, while I'm trying, in the process of trying to help them. And so I'm thinking about this personally for Dear God to Be There Yet, and how we don't want to make certain mistakes, and how there's this complex conversation around poverty. It's not just he doesn't have food and he needs to eat. There's a whole systematic problem behind it, from a government, from a political, from an infrastructure, which I still can't wrap over my mind how the Dominican Republic doesn't have light all day long. Like, it's just still a hierarchy. Like, if you live in this barrio, you get it, you don't. And it doesn't go away so much, perhaps, but that doesn't mean the problem's gone. So how does that happen? I'm talking about DR so much, but how does it happen here in the States? How are we helping rather than, you know, we're hurting them while we think we're helping them? A great example I want to give you guys is, you know, the homeless. And this is where the controversy might come up, because a lot of, it's, again, poverty is complex. Homelessness is complex. There's an entire system behind it, starting with mental health. How does this work with us? Think about the next time that you are about to do something for an organization, with an organization, whatever it is, if you're giving a dollar, if you're helping, even volunteering with us and our nonprofit that we have on our site. How are we hurting rather than we're helping? And the homelessness is something that it's huge. It's a systematic, it's global. I mean, I think California has probably the highest rate of homelessness. And that's thanks to them dumping, you know, people from mental institutions in downtown Los Angeles, just because they're like, "Oh, we don't have enough people, or we don't have funding." How are we helping? If we give them a plate of food, it is helping the situation for a moment. It is helping them for that meal, that time. Listen, I'm sitting here telling you this, but I've been in line and for Thanksgiving and given food to the homeless. I've done it multiple times, you know, food banks, you know, in Delray Beach, for the migrant workers in West, you know, 4x441. Like, and I'm sitting here like, oh my God, I was a part of a problem in a lot of these situations. Like, what can we do as a society, as a community, as a person? You know, what can we do? And it takes one person, less like I always talk about, it takes one conversation, one person, one question, one everything. It doesn't have to start in this big, massive, and global change. I want to change the world. Kumbaya. I'm Angelina Jolie. No, it starts small. So the homelessness is a pandemic in its own self, because it's something that we have so many people that are displaced from their homes and continuously now with quarantining and with this pandemic, with Corona, And it's like, how are we going to get them back on their feet? What can we do that goes longer than a plate of food? And I was reading this book again, because you know I love to read. I was reading this book, and it was about this pastor, and he was saying, like, it is hurting his heart. He was in some country, and the poverty is just as bad. And when I talk about backyard, I mean here in the U.S., in our own backyard. And he was saying, what are the tools and what are the things that we need to do to help them? Because we can give them a plate of food, and tomorrow they're still going to be hungry. But how can we get them on their feet, whether it's government resources or whatever the case is, whatever, there has to be enough, there has to be resources. We create these resources. Every time something happens political, we create that voice. We speak that. We march. We do that. And so the same way we do that, we have to find these resources for everything else. He saw a family, and he saw the husband, and he saw the wife, and there was like six kids, I think. And he's saying that they were extremely poor, and they were going every single day to the church, again, another church. They were going to the church, and the church was literally feeding them. They were giving them entire meals. And this pastor comes in, and he's like, no, hold on. We have to do something, because there's going to be some time, which the other pastor didn't tell them, that they were running out of money to get food. They're like, now we are not going to have resources to keep you this up. So he was coming together, and it's like, how can we do this developmental process where there's going to be constantly food? If food is the thing, what is it behind the food? Where are they getting the food? Where are all these things? And it's crazy, because his number one resources were those people, was that father in that family, was that mother in that family, was those children that was telling them, hey, did you know about this thing, this farm, and da, da, da. And he was utilizing them as the same resources to solve the problem, to solve it. And it's not solving like, okay, we're done with it. It's solving a part of the problem, because the problem is going to be ongoing. As long as we have, again, I said it in the beginning of this podcast, poverty is complex. Homelessness is complex. There's so many different aspects of the world that are very complex. But how can we solve it past a meal that we give? So I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about in your life, in your community, in your children's school. I guarantee you, if you have children, wherever they go to school, even though they're online, there's a lot of children that are hungry. A lot of kids won't have food because they don't go to school, right? That was a huge thing. A lot of mothers have to stay home. There's a constant, again, everything is so complex. So what part of the complexity can we go ahead and try to alleviate through a developmental aspect for change? So think about that. The next time you volunteer for any of the opportunities that we're doing, think about how can you take it a step further? Not just showing up for your hour Skype meeting or whatever to teach a child how to read. How can you take it one step further? You know, my grandmother, God rest her soul, she always used to say, uno se la averigua cuando necesita en el momento. She said, you will figure it out. There's always a solution for everything in that moment. Because there's always somebody that's going to know somebody that somebody knows something because of their experiences. And we talked about this last week about everybody's facts. But there's always going to be someone knowing something that you might not know, of something they used in the past, or a resource. And using the same people that need that, the poor people in need, or the single mothers, or whatever, they should be the resources in solving this situation. And we have to take ourselves out completely, in the sense that we're there to support and advocate. But we can't come in and be like, I got all the solutions, because that's not solving the problem. That's just coming in and saying, we're just going to feed 1,000 people today, and tomorrow we're not thinking about it, but those 1,000 people are going to probably be more hungry, or they're going to be just as hungry. So I leave that to you today on this podcast because I want to have these conversations with you guys, and I want to start piquing your attention if it's something that you love. And it doesn't have to start huge, like I was saying. It start right in your homes. It can start, you know, in your within your community. If you have children in your schools, every person has a community. No matter what city you live in, there's always going to be like an actual community, and there's going to be needs in that community. What can you do? I was listening to this podcast, and I had a kind of like a moment, and I was like, wow, that's a great idea. So this mom, she noticed that a lot of children at the daycare where her child was going, you know, she's just talking to the staff, and they're like, yeah, you know, a lot of moms, you know, they don't, you know, diapers and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. They can't afford certain things. So she started just giving diapers. Now, we all know if you have children or you have a, you or you're an auntie or whatever, the diapers were so freaking expensive, right? So God bless his soul because this lady was giving diapers, like just donating them, right? Love her for that. And she probably wasn't giving them the non-name brand, according to the story, because I think she was doing like a subscription. That's what it was saying in the podcast, like a subscription of diapers. So it got there. So you know that was super expensive, right? And so she's just, something came to her, and it was coming to her. And she's like, wow, man, this is becoming like, I'm not helping because these kids are going to get grown. There's more kids that are going to come in and they're going to need it. And she's like, no, I'm going to take this in my own hands. And so she said, can I do something? Can I, there's a couple of things that I love to do. And she says she likes couponing. She likes sales. She likes going thrift shopping. She likes doing all these different things, right? And she was talking to her girlfriend. She's like, let me go to the daycare and I'm going to talk to the director. And I want to have like this mommy something on Saturday and see who's going to come. And the first time, like two parents probably came. And she's like, oh my God, she felt defeated. She felt like I'm not going to be able to do something. Like I'm not going to be able to, those two people that came got something from it. And the girl said, I'm never going to do this again because two people only came. And basically what it was is the two moms came and she kind of showed them how to do kind of like couponing, but at the same time, certain resources, like she just became like this instant social worker, if you think about it, because she had somebody from her church that she knew, and her, you know, her sister-in-law and all, and it's like, that's how our communities are. When I talk about communities, it doesn't mean where you live. Your community is your network, your family, your friends, the people in between, shoot, your Facebook. and those two people, one of them, it just took one of them to go back to the director of the daycare and was like, we need to have this again. This is amazing. And lo and behold, the lady was having it again another Saturday. And a couple more people showed up. And she was just like, okay. She was teaching them different dynamics. She taught them about budgeting. And she taught them about couponing. Now, she was not an extreme couponer in the sense of, but couponing goes with budget, right? Because if you think about it, you're like, okay, I'm spending money, blah, blah, blah. The point is, and I'm going to leave you with this before we finish with the podcast today. The point is that she was giving diapers. She was solving a problem. She was solving a problem, an immediate problem. It was like, boom, you need it. The kid's going to grow. The kid's going to need more things, and more kids are going to be coming in. And the poor lady's going to be out of her, you know, debt with these diapers because diapers are not cheap and they only get more expensive. But she went on a faith of how she can help something to a different degree based on what her likes and her needs. And she just started doing it on the side. I mean, it was her daycare that she goes to. So she knows everybody. She's coming like another mom. And she knew that these tools helped her. And she was able to help them not only with couponing, but learning how to budget. And we all know that budgeting and finance is one of the biggest fundamentals in our life. Because we don't know how to handle our money, we're not going to be able to handle anything in our life. And that's a fact. Because that's how we're going to be able to, that's how we're not going to be able to, you know, understand how to properly organize our lives and what our priorities, our needs, because of, you know, finances. We need certain things in our life, especially if we have children. And I thought it was so inspirational because I said to myself, wow, it's such a great idea. Like, this lady just got everybody on a Saturday with a couple of donuts and coffee. And she's like, grab that cafecito, let's do some couponing. And I even think that she even went to the store. She went to CVS because she even had a list and she made a group and all this stuff. And this lady now is like, everybody knows her and she still works for a job. And she's just like, I think I might do this full time. And I don't know if she's doing it full. She might be doing it full time now. I don't know if she is. But my whole point is that she's helping them. Now it's not about diapers. Now it's a lifestyle. Now it's a need. It's a lifestyle need. And I just wanted to come with you guys today on this podcast because I'm really passionate about this topic in the sense that how can we help people without hurting them? And I'm trying to do my best in everything that we do, from our grants that we're going to give out to our trips that we're going to do, which is more like a volunteer cultural trip, and all these other aspects of Dear God, Are We There Yet? Is to make sure that we are helping more than we are hurting. And to think that, yes, we can't just think about this moment. We have to think about the future and how we can teach them something and they can teach us something. Because helping one another and keeping that conversation going just starts with one person. Hasta la próxima. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and I'll see you guys next week. Ciao.
Wepa! Thank you for tuning in. Show us your love and join the conversation on one of our ruedas sociales, social media, leave a podcast review, and be sure to tune in next week. ¿Y qué ahora? What's next? Check out our website and volunteer today. We have so many virtual volunteer opportunities, and remember, you can be a part of the change in a changing world. Hasta la próxima. Besos!